Good morning. I want to formally invite you to our prayer and fasting that's coming up on this coming week on the 13th of February, which is a Wednesday, all the way to Sunday. So it's a 5 days of prayer and fasting. And there will be, if you need a booklet, all right, if you need a booklet, you can grab a booklet as you are leaving this auditorium. The ushers will be ready to hand out the booklets. And if you have children, okay, we specially have a children version that, you know, they can do some other activities as they pray and fast, okay? I will leave it up to you and God to decide what kind of fast you're going to do, all right? Whether you're going to do a full 5 days. I do encourage you to do a full 5 days. Whether you're going to do just liquid, just water, no liquid, no water, probably water. Yeah, I think you need water. But, you know, whether you're just going to go with one meal, a vegetarian fast, a paleo fast. No paleo fast, all right? No paleo fast. That's not a fast. That's a diet, all right? So I leave it up to you and God to decide what you're going to do, all right? If you are a little bit more techie, all right, if you are a little bit more techy, you can go to our website, you can download the booklet, it's on PDF format, and I do encourage you, there is an app, all right, you just Google in the Play Store or iOS iTunes Store, just search for Every Nation Great Faith, and you'll be able to download that app. In that app, every day there will be devotions, the devotions that we're going through, and the videos, all right, so that will be great. Okay, because I know some of you are fasting on Facebook, you may not get the videos that we post out. So with the app, you get to do that without going on Facebook. Well, as we are talking about fasting, this is a true story. There is a church in America, right? Across the church, there's a pub that's being built. Okay, so when the church learn about this pub, so the senior pastor was like, gather the whole congregation and say, guys, we gotta fast and pray that the pub will not be established in front of our church. Well, we didn't do that to that pub across the road, right? God did it before we came over. But God knows the desire of our hearts. Take that out. But the whole church decided to gather, and they begin to fast and pray. They say, God, please do not let the pub establish. Please do not let the pub establish. Well, a few months down the road, just before the pub opening, there was a thunderstorm, and lightning struck the pub, and it burned it. So the church was like, oh yeah, you know, our prayer and fasting really works. So they started to talk among themselves. They started to become boastful about it. You know, they're really proud that they have brought down the pub. And guess what? The owner of the pub, they heard about it. They're like, wow, this church actually caused us to our business. So what they did in America, you know, what do Americans do? They begin to sue them. All right, I'm going to take this church to court. So they brought the church to court and said, you know, I'm claiming indemnity for our building. You know, all the damages, whether directly or indirectly, is caused by them, so they have to pay for it. And the church began to, no, it's not us. It's not our fault that your pub was bound. It's natural disaster. It's not us. It wasn't caused by us. And in the court, the judge says this: I don't know how I'm going to tackle this case. It appears by the paperwork, we have a pub owner that believes in the power of prayer and fasting, and an entire church congregation that does not believe in the power of prayer and fasting. That's a dilemma. Well, church, I want to tell you, we are a church that believes in the power of prayer and fasting. All right? So come on, join us, all right? We're going to see some breakthrough. Well, as part of the Selfless series, we've been looking at, you know, different sermons that was brought by Pastor Richard and Pastor Chrissy to talk about selfless. So I'm going to end this series talking about fasting. And you may be wondering, how can fasting be a selfless act? Okay. Well, Do you know that fasting can actually be a very selfish act itself? Because some of us have this mentality, when I fast, God needs to answer my prayer. Right? I need to manipulate God in getting that new house, in getting that new car. I need to manipulate God, I'm fasting. You need to give me what I want. But let me tell you, fasting and prayer is not about manipulating God to answer our prayer. I'm sorry if you have prepared yourself for that. That's not how it's going to work. Fasting actually realigns us to what God has prepared for us. Okay? You know, a lot of us, when we pray, we have our own perspective of things. Okay? And to be honest, sometimes we have our own prejudice. Let me just share you a scenario, you know, a very recent scenario. Just last month, who remember when we just moved into, 2 months ago now, wow. We just moved into this premises, right? So as when we are setting up this whole place, this auditorium, we have the wonderful rooms for the kids. And me, as the project manager, you know, I went to the kids director, Mr. Jerry Amasola. I told him, Jerry, I want the kids' position to be there. Those are the rooms for you. I want the age group to be in here, and that age group to be in there, and that age group to be in there. I even told Pastor Weong and Mike Arazo, this is what I want. And I told him, it's because my boss wants to have this place not having kids screaming around and then hearing, said, I need to protect my job. No, I'm kidding. He was actually much nicer than that. So I told him, I want the older kids to be nearest to the auditorium because they are not as loud as the little one, because the little one, they can go da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? And Jerry took it back to his team, and then they discussed, and then they came back, Pastor, no, this is how we're going to... When I heard about that in the office, I was like, how dare he? He should do what I say. He has no right. I'm telling him what to do. But because I'm a pastor. Hello, Jerick. Would you like to have a lunch? And we can talk about this. So we met up for lunch, and they presented to me their point of view. They presented to me their perspective. Gay is looking at me like, yeah, I remember exactly what happened. Because she was a lawyer and she presented her case to Jerick, and Jerick presented her case to me. And when I heard their rationale, I said, wow, it actually makes sense. I've never thought about that. I said, why don't we give it a try for a couple of weeks and see how it goes? If it all goes custard, then we can revert back to my plan. So we give it a try, and it's working, and I'm glad that I didn't push my way through, because then I'll be public enemy number one for Ian Kids. All right? And now the kids teacher, yes, we still have challenges, but at least how the setup makes so much more sense. And me sitting in the office making all this decision, I do not see those perspective. And similarly to us, when we fast and pray, we present God with our demands, our wants. Have we seen God's perspective on that matter? Have we taken our prejudice out and allowed God to show us actually there's a better plan, there's a better way? How many of us believe that God's perspective is always better than our own perspective? Well, only few of you. Hopefully by the end of this sermon, something may change, all right? Okay, let's look at the scripture for today. This is my scripture. All right. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13, a lot of you may be very familiar with this scenario. or you may have read about it. It says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those 4 days, i.e. he fasted. And when they were ended, he was hungry. He's human after all. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And in the third temptation, he took him to Jerusalem and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful morning. Thank you for, even in during the worship, O Lord God, Father, you have already set the scene for us, O Lord God, Father, that, Lord, that we should put you in the center of our lives, O Lord. Father, I pray, God, Father, that every word that comes out from here, O Lord, Father, will help us to prepare ourselves for this coming week of prayer, fasting, and consecration. And I pray, Lord, Father, Lord, that your word will speak to individual lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at the first test. It says, and Jesus, next slide, please. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, before this sin sets place, Jesus was just baptized by John. And do you remember what happened when he came up from the water? A light shined from heaven, all right, the dove descended, and a voice was heard, this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Immediately after that, when he is in the wilderness, the first thing the enemy attack is his identity. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, how many of us have doubted our identity in God before? When our position in God is put in doubt, everything in our lives will usually get out of alignment. We'll begin to wonder if God is really who He is. Am I really a child of God? Okay? Well, the enemy tempts Jesus with the basic necessity of life. When sometimes our desire to feed ourselves with things that are basic to our lives, for example, a better job, a better car, not a better wife, a better relationship. My wife is the best, okay? There's nothing to tempt. I'm sorry, husbands, but mine is the best for me. Brownie points? Oh, yeah. A better house, or even a better phone, right? Sometimes we want things from God. Okay, we pray, you know, I'm sure a lot of us here believe for a better house, sometimes a better car. It's not wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But if it is not the will of God that we are praying for, do we get upset when God does not answer? On the contrary, sometimes when we fast and pray, God will reveal to us, you should actually pray for a better house. A bigger house. Why? Because he may want you to be He may want you to open up your house to receive more people into your home, to be more hospitable. Sometimes God will say, actually, you want to pray for that small little Corolla car? No, you should pray for that big MPV, because you can help with the transport of our youth. Right? Sometimes we pray, God, I need $5,000 to send my kids to school this year. God says, no, you should maybe pray for $50,000, because I want you to be a blessing to all those students who are struggling with their fees. So, you see, sometimes when we pray and fast, it's not just about what we want. God will realign us as, actually, what you really need is this. Because my perspective, my plans for you, is far greater than that. Yeah? So, God, don't get me wrong, God does not want to shortchange us. He wants us, He wants to bless us. Because in blessing us, He wants us to be a blessing to others. Yeah? Fasting will align our minds, which is our flesh, to God. Okay, so I encourage you, as we come into this week, as we fast and pray, align what you want and present it to God. And say, God, is this is what you want from me? All right, in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 8, he says, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You see, Jesus knew his ultimate purpose in his life is to gather all people and all nations into the kingdom of God. But before he can do that, before he can sit on the royal throne, he must hang on the cross. This temptation will allow Jesus to leave behind all the rejection and all the suffering for a quick access to power. And in other words, the devil is offering him a shortcut. Do we take shortcuts? Well, if it's a road, we do. But if we take shortcuts and missed out on the purpose of God, would you rather go the long haul and fulfill the purpose of God? Jeremiah tells us that our heart is deceitful. And in Proverbs, it asks us that above all things, guard our hearts. Okay? Sometimes we have a business deal. We are tempted with some shortcuts. And with that, you dishonor God. In your studies, in your exams, or sometimes even at home, in some situations, when you know that you need to work through certain things before you can achieve the results, but you're offered a shortcut, do you take a shortcut? Fasting helps us to align the desire of our hearts. So when we are praying for our children, for a new job, a life partner, for a community or our nations, all right, God will show us what is His purpose that we need to walk through. Sometimes it's hard. Most of the time, it's going to take a lot of time. Okay? I'm going to ask the Fiji team, hey, was it easy for you to raise your support? No. But what did that process did to you? It extended your faith. Some of our Fiji missionaries that were going there, they actually have the financial means to go. Like, I don't need to do this. I can just pay for it and I'll just go. But the team said, no, we will go through this journey of raising support because it helps them to extend their faith to rely on God. Well, I don't know if some of them may have cheated. I did it, but actually, you know, they put in the money. That is something that is not honoring to God, and that may actually rob them from growing their faith. Okay? So I'm so proud of the team. They raised the full support and going, and they know that if God is with them, who can be against them? Okay? And a lot, when we fast and pray, we are asking the Holy Spirit to help us to pray according to the will of God. Okay? Yes, God, it is hard, but help me get through it. Not my will, but your will to be done. And when our answer is, when our prayer is not answered in the manner that we expect, we will not feel dejected. We will not feel down. Okay? We may ask God, God, why? It's okay to ask God why, because a lot of times God may reveal certain things in his own timing. Okay. I remember more than 10 years ago right now, when I first had my studies in England, in the United Kingdom, I was just a young adult, well, teenager really, and it was the first time that I left Malaysia to go to England in autumn, in England's autumn, which is in September. You know, Asians, us Asian. Yes, every nation, Singapore has Pastor Joshua, every nation, Auckland, an Asian man as a pastor, go figure. But when I was there, when I first arrived there, we were all seated in the room, and everybody in the room were given their accommodation. Okay, every name was called out. Okay, this is your flat, this is your room. So one by one, the whole room, about 200 people were called. We were all international students, all right? So we sat in that room, and I was waiting for my turn to be given a room. Everyone called. Even my best friend that was sitting beside me got a room. And then the whole room was gone. And my best friend was sitting beside me. I didn't let him go. I was like, what happened to my name? Okay, so I went up to the coordinator. I said, did you miss my name? So, you know, they were looking through my name. Yeah, it's a little bit to pronounce my name, Chang Chin Chong, but you should still be able to see it on paper, right? And that time we didn't have email. We sent in our application through a paper and we snail mail it from Malaysia all the way to England. I said, I send it at this time and, you know, I don't have a room. They looked through the whole list and said, I'm sorry, your name is not here. I said, so what do I do? I said, we're just going to put you in a temporary room for now. So in I went to a temporary room. And me, first time in England, feeling cold. Although it was only 18 degrees, I was wearing 3 layers with a jacket. Sitting in my room like, God, what is happening? I was a young Christian. I was just a one-year-old Christian, right? I was like, God. You said that I will do all, you know, I will come to England, I will fulfill all this. Like, no, but why are you doing this to me? Lord. After I complained to him, I took out my credit card. It was an emergency credit card given by my mom, and I called my mom and said, no, I don't have a room. And she started to get panicked there. It's like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then the next day, I went to the office, and they found out that they lost my application. Well, maybe that's just an excuse. How did they know that they lost my application? So they just didn't have my application. And they said, never mind, I'll put you in another campus. All right, so the accommodation that the 200 people got was like in the campus that we are going to study, but where they put me, I need to take a bus like every day. So I was grumpy. I moved in there. And I was asking God, why do you do this to me? All my friends are there, and now I'm staying here alone. You know, I have no friends. And eventually, when I was staying there alone, I met a Christian friend, a Christian brother, who I have not met, first time I met him. And after we got to know one another, he began to disciple me. He began to teach me the word of God. Remember, I was a young Christian, and he began to open up the Bible. He began to teach me what is worship, how to worship God. And in that, my faith grew and grew. And then I heard my best friend, they were just partying all the time over there, you know, because there was a group of them, so, you know, they always hang out and they do what students do. But over here, I was doing what God wants me to learn. During that time, I don't see that perspective. I was grumpy for the whole year. I need to take a bus. And then when I ran out of bus money, I decided to buy a bicycle, cycle in the winter, get blown by the wind. It was miserable, I'm telling you. You think Auckland weather is miserable? Try going to England during that time. It was miserable. And I complained. But just before I left, I received a prophetic word. It said, I brought you here not just for your study. I brought you here so that your faith can grow. And now you're ready to go back and serve me. And he began to show me why I was put in that place. All right. I'm not saying if I'm there, my faith wouldn't grow. But because when I was staying in the other campus, I got special attention. I got special attention from God that he sends one particular student to disciple me. How awesome is that? Okay. Fasting realigns the desire of our heart to God. It aligns our mind and it realigns our heart. Well, in the next temptation, in Luke 4, verse 9 to 12, it says, and he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Over here, we see that the enemy actually uses the word of God to tempt Jesus. You see, the enemy actually says, it is written. This is what God says. He will command his angels. I can relate to that. Sometimes we bend the scripture, we bend the prophecy that was given to us to suit our own needs, to suit our own desire. But what is God really saying? Do you know, there is a very, very popular verse in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. On the next slide, please. It says, and I'll tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, find. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Hey, we're coming to prayer and fasting, right? This is a great scripture to claim. But did you know that a lot of us, including myself, have sometimes bent the scripture? The context, if you study what this scripture is really saying, this scripture was given by Jesus after he taught his disciple how to pray. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And all my ex-Catholic friends, oh, you can't recite it anymore, right? But you know what I mean. Jesus just taught his disciple how to pray. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then he told them about this scripture. This scripture is not something that we just use it casually and say, I want a wife as good as Alfred's. Nope. I want a car. I'm asking and it will be given. I want $20,000. I want a new job. I want a new house. No. This scripture is fulfilled when you pray according to the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay. So sometimes we take the scripture, just like what the enemy said. It is written, Jesus, it is written. Just jump and God will save you. But Jesus, after fasted for so long, he knows. Even though it is written, that's not the scripture for me to claim right now. It's not for me to claim right now because it is not the will of God for me to test him right now. It is not the will of God. Fasting realigns the desire of our soul back to God. All right? It realigns our soul back to God. Okay? It realigns our faith Okay? When we pray according to the scripture, we need to know how it applies to our life. What is the will of God in my life? What do you want for me at my current situation? God, my job is terrible. Why don't you give me that new job? You said you want to bless me. But maybe God is saying, stay. Because there is something that you need to be in your current situation. See, we must realign all our desire with God, regardless it's personal or ministry desire. And sometimes we need to walk the hard road with God for it. Anything we do that is independent of the Lord expresses a lack of connection to Him, a lack of faith to Him. Just as Jesus shows His royalty as the Son of God, we must show royalty as God's children. Remember when the person asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus says that we should love our God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. Therefore, during this prayer, time of prayer and fasting, I urge you, I encourage you to realign your desire. The desire of your heart, the desire of your mind, the desire of a soul, back to God. Okay? Well, in verse 13, the very last verse of our scripture, it says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. Actually, there's a problem with my slides. It says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Right? Until an opportune time. Okay, so the very, very important last phrase of my scripture was missing. It says that he departed from him until an opportune time. This means the devil will come again and again, and again, and again to lure us away from God. That's why it's important for us to be in a connect group. That's why it's important for us to have a spiritual leader that we can trust, that when we have a situation, okay, we can bring it up to the connect group leader and talk through it. Okay? Because even though we have victory today, the enemy is not going to let you go. He will come back and sway you away from what God has purposed for you. All right? If you're feeling down, if you're in a tough time, don't isolate yourself. Like I always say, when you isolate yourself, what do you get? You get lamb chop. All right? When the sheep is isolated, you're destined to be a meal for the enemy. Okay? So gather yourselves among your connect group. Speak to your spiritual leaders. Okay, so that don't give the devil a foothold. And that is also why every year our church do a corporate prayer and fasting twice a year. We do it in the beginning of the year. Yes, we do it in February because of the seasons in New Zealand that's a little bit different. But we also do one in the middle of the year, sometime usually around August, September time frame. Okay, because we want to make sure that we start our year right. We want to make sure that even as a church, we are praying and believing God for what He has purposed us to do. All right. As a church leaders, it is our hearts that our church is always aligned with what God has destined us for this year. Amen. What God has purposed for us to be for this community, this year, this nation. All right. Therefore, I really urge you, from Wednesday onwards to Sunday, we have corporate prayers throughout the week. Okay? On Wednesday and Thursday evening, we'll have corporate prayer in our church, in the auditorium. And on Friday, we're going to have corporate prayer all over the cities because we want to pray all around the cities also. Okay, so I urge you, all right, all the information is in this booklet. Whether you're, if you're here to support Hamilton. Hamilton have their own addresses, okay? So if you pick up a Hamilton booklet, it will have their prayer location on the different days. But if you're in Auckland, I really want to invite you to come on Wednesday, all right, 7:30 corporate prayer. There's power when we come together to pray together, okay? Thursday, Friday in all the different houses, North Shore, Northwest, West Auckland, East Auckland, and Central. Okay, we will have different houses. And on Saturday, we're going to be meeting as a church in the Auckland Domain at 7 o'clock in the morning. I invite you all to come out. All right, right in front of the museum, right, there is a big space. We're going to pray over the city. We've done that for the past couple of years, and it's awesome when you look out the city and you're actually declaring God over the city. All right, so yes, please come along. Two years ago, we did a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And there's this particular phrase in that book that always gets me. He says, you can tell how popular a church is by who comes on a Sunday morning. Yeah, thank you for coming. You can tell how popular the pastor or evangelist is by who comes on Sunday night. Sometimes they have special prayer meeting, special speakers, you know, so it's on Sunday night. But you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to a prayer meeting. Because when we, over the next few weeks, all our prayer is going to focus on realigning ourselves back to Jesus. All right? So, yes, it's my intention to make you feel that you need to come for the prayer meeting. Okay, I'm laying down my intention clear. All right? So, I'll just round this off. And again, pick up a booklet, download it if you need to, download the app, and please enjoy your fasting. Wow. Enjoy your fasting. It's honestly, I don't really enjoy the fasting, but I enjoy the process, the results of it. Yeah. And I'll see you here. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord God, that throughout the year, O Lord, Father, as far as we go, as much misalignment that we have gone out of, God, you have always been gracious to us and you have always called us back, O God. Father, I pray, Lord God, Father, even as we embark on the coming week, O Lord, to fast and pray, to seek your face, O Lord, Father, God, I pray, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us. God, I pray, Lord, Father, that those moments, oh Lord, God, Father, that we will spend with you, where we meet you face to face, oh Lord, God, Father, Lord, that it will be such an intimate moment, that God, that you will speak to us clearly, and you will show us, oh Lord, God, Father, yourself, oh Lord, Father, on what you want us to realign our mind, our heart, and our soul, oh Lord, God, Father. Father, I pray, Lord God, Father, that, Lord, whatever that we do, Lord God, Father, it will be honoring to you, Lord. I bless every person, Lord Father. Give us strength. Holy Spirit, be with us even as we go on this journey. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.